Well, thank you so much, everybody, for being here this morning. I think everybody here knows me, but my name's Paul Letvin, one of two pastors here at Submerged Church. And, you know, the word believe seems to be a common word in our culture, especially around Christmas time. I've just noticed this over the years. You know, it's spelled out in block letters on shelves in people's homes, like our house. we've got those, like, literally, like these little blocks that spell believe. It's on the front of cards and on signs. Believe in the magic of Christmas, you know, some signs say. There was a Cirque Musica performance in the Shields Arena in Fargo during the Christmas season one year, a couple years back, that my family went to, and the theme that year was believe. Yeah, maybe some of you were at that when we used to be able to get together in large groups. The last line of the popular children's, am I coming through here? The last line of the popular children's book, The Polar Express, says, though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me, as it does for all who truly believe. Believe what? You know, it says believe. Okay, if it says believe, what are you supposed to believe? Who are you supposed to believe? What are they talking about, okay? And in these days, it can be exceedingly difficult to know what to believe. Many news reports and stories seem to have conflicting information, or at the very least, differing perspectives. How can we discern the truth? A good first step is to know and believe God's truth, his word, and his promises. That's a good first step. So let's go ahead and pray again here with me. Father, we just pray you'd speak to us today. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to each of our hearts, to this church. Lord, I pray you'd give us soft hearts. I pray you'd give us open minds. I pray you'd give us attentive ears. I pray against, Lord, demonic influences from preventing us from hearing your truth today. I pray each of us would walk away today, Lord, encouraged, emboldened, and motivated to know your word, to study it, to read it, to memorize it, to obey it, Lord, so that we can recognize lies immediately because we know your truth so well. Lord, I pray you give us discerning hearts in these days where lies are rampant. Give us wisdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So once again, the big idea today, if you remember anything from today, is to believe God at his word. Believe God at his word. And we're going to see some results later on as I'm preaching of what happens when people did believe God at his word and what happened when they didn't believe God at his word. Well, first of all, why believe God? First, why believe God? Well, I'll give you a couple reasons. First of all, God's words are true. God's words are true. 2 Samuel 7:28. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true. And you have promised this good thing to your servant. 2 Samuel 7:28. God's words are true. Second, God's words prove to be true. They not only are true, but they prove to be true. Proverbs 30 verse 5, and this is also quoted in the Old Testament as well, but then Solomon says it again. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Wow, that's a good verse to cling to in these times, isn't it? Where we're so filled with fear, so concerned about the future, what's going to happen. Well, guess what? God is a shield to those who take refuge in him. He's a shield. And I want to encourage you believers right now that any given day we go about, if we had spiritual goggles and could see what God sees, I can almost promise you that there would be multiple attacks coming from the evil one that we don't even know about that God is shielding us from. Perhaps even car accidents where, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there's been a couple of times where I've just like, man, just at the last second, like, you know what? I'm going to turn down this road instead to go home. And I just do it. And then I get home safely and I think, wow, I wonder if God was protecting me from something, you know? And just being in tune with the Holy Spirit. You know, God shields us from things, and his words prove true. Thirdly, God's words are true. God's words prove to be true. And thirdly, God's word does not return empty. God's word does not return empty. It accomplishes his purposes and succeeds. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God always wins. Isn't that good news? God always wins. It might seem like people are getting away with things. It might seem like evil is succeeding, but in the end, God succeeds. His word accomplishes what he proposed. And if you want to be encouraged, just read the end of the Bible, Revelation 20, 21. God wins. Okay, that's good news. Fourthly, God fulfills his promises. Why should we believe God? He fulfills his promises. Many people do not. In fact, I don't know if there's anybody on this whole earth that has ever fulfilled every single promise that they've ever made. But God fulfills every single one. He fulfills his promises. 1 Kings 8:20. Now the Lord has fulfilled his promise that he made. For I have risen in the place of David my father and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised. And I have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. As he promised. I can't tell you how many times that phrase appeared as I was researching for this message. There's verse after verse after verse, as he promised. He fulfills his promises. And fifth reason, why should we believe God? God never lies. God never lies. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. He never lies. God is truth. John 14, 6. What did Jesus say? I am the way and the truth and the life. Okay? So if God is truth, that means it's contrary to his nature to lie. This is really big, folks. Okay? It's contrary to his nature to lie. Okay? That's why lying is a sin. Anything that's contrary to the nature of God is sin. What is sin? Why do we have sin? How do we know if something's sin? If it's contrary to God's nature, that's why it's sin. God is giving. That's why it's wrong to steal. You know, so think about it. Think of all the attributes and characteristics of God. Anything that goes against the nature of God is sin. Anything that goes against the design of God is sin. One man, one woman. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. That is God's design. That's God's design. When we go against God's design, bad things happen because he knows what's best. He created us. He set everything up. He set up all these structures. Here's another way to look at it. We do not need to fact check God. We do not need to fact check God. That's Satan's job. We can take confidence in his words and believe them to be true. Satan is the one who is always fact-checking God, trying to cause us to doubt. Did God actually say, as the serpent asked Eve in Genesis 3, verse 1? You know, this says a lot about our fact-checking mainstream media and social media, doesn't it? They're always fact-checking. They use the same trick that Satan used, causing doubt for us to believe in simple logical truths. We have to open our eyes to this, Christians. I'm not saying we should believe everything we read. On the contrary, we need to be doing our own research with what is being communicated in the news today. We must. We're being lied to. And I'm just going to say it frankly right now. If you're watching ABC, CBS, NBC, Communist News Network, sorry, CNN, you're being lied to. You're being lied to. You're being lied to. You've got to dig deeper. You've got to check these facts. But if some source sees the need to fact check a seemingly simple and logical report, I would take that as a red flag. I would take that as a red flag. Anytime I see the word fact check, immediately I know, okay, whatever is being fact checked is probably true, even though they say it's false. It's become comical to me. The same words that are used over and over. long shots, lawsuits. I think I saw that in about 15 titles. Unbased. It's the same adjectives. It doesn't matter what the news source is. It's unbelievable what the mainstream media is doing to brainwash the people of this country. We've got to be looking and diving deeper. We can always believe God. Anything written in your Bible, you can believe it. It's true. It's true. We don't have to fact check God. All right, I got that out of my system. So, the beginning of believing. The very first place in the Bible where it is mentioned that someone believed God is with Abraham, then Abram, in Genesis 15. So that's the very first spot. So it's in Genesis 15, verses 5 through 6. This is the very first place in the Bible where it's mentioned that someone believed God. Okay, so let's read that. And he brought him outside and said, this is God speaking to at the time Abram, who became Abraham, we know that. Okay, and God brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Whoa. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is huge, people. This is huge. He believed the Lord and counted it to him as righteousness. By the way, 1 week from tomorrow will be one of the grandest views in the sky that we have seen in hundreds of years. You've probably Ivanka Trump even highlighted it on a parlay on Parler. I was amazed. But Jupiter and Saturn will be in conjunction on the winter solstice, December 21st. Okay. The reason this is significant is because there's some people that think the Star of Bethlehem that the wise men saw, what was it, was a conjunction of Jupiter, the king planet, with Regulus, the king star, or maybe that was the coronation that happened. There's a lot of deep symbolism in some of this stuff, but nonetheless, that's what they believe the Bethlehem star was. Like it was a conjunction, and that's why it was so bright. And there's even on this secular sky. What's the name of this app I've got on here? It's called Sky Guide. Yeah, Sky Guide, wonderful app that you can get on Apple products. You literally hold it up and then it like tells you what the constellations are. It's just like fascinating. But anyway, that app is referring to this as the Christmas star. They're calling it the Christmas star. So hopefully you guys can get a chance to see it. And I don't know, you know, God does things for a reason. He sets things up for a reason on certain dates. There's so much symbolism that God shows, it's unbelievable. So I don't know what he's trying to tell us, but there's something big about this with Jupiter and Saturn going into conjunction on the winter solstice, the darkest day of the year. Don't know what it means, but those of us who are wise, like, and we'll get to that, like the wise men, they knew when that star appeared, okay? And then and that's how they came and found Jesus. So anyway. So that being set aside, I wasn't even planning on talking about that. But so he said, "Look to heaven." Abraham believed it. So this was a huge deal, huge deal. He believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. In fact, this is such a huge deal that it was quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Did you know that? Romans 4:3, Galatians 3:6, and James 2:23. So this verse, Genesis 15, verse 6, was quoted 3 times in the New Testament. Romans 4:3, Galatians 3:6, James 2:23. What does this mean for us? Well, we can receive this same righteousness by believing in Jesus Christ. Romans 3, verse 21 through 22. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all who believe. This is astounding, and it's great news for us sinners, is it not? We become children of God when we believe and receive Jesus. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You guys want a little fact check here? Anytime you hear someone say, oh, we're all God's children, it's a lie. It's a lie. You do not become a child of God until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know how else I know that's a lie? Because why would Jesus call the Pharisees sons of Satan if we were all God's children? Even Jesus knew that not to be true. That is a false report that's being preached from the pulpits, and it's dangerous to just think that everyone is a child of God. Is everyone made in God's image? Yes, absolutely. Every human being deserves respect simply because they're an image bearer of God. Does God love every human being? Yes, absolutely. He wants all to turn to repentance. Is every human being a child of God? No, not until they accept Jesus as their Savior. And he's made it so easy for us. All we have to do is believe and receive. This is the best Christmas gift that anyone could ever receive, to become a true child of God by believing in Jesus Christ and being marked with his righteousness. The best gift, listen, the best gift that you could give Jesus Christ this Christmas season, you know what it is? It's your heart. That's the best gift that you could give him. And I'm talking to those here that maybe don't know Jesus and those of us who do, because our hearts can wander, can't they? They go after other things. So Christians here, I would encourage you, don't wait until Christmas. Do it today. Give Jesus your heart. Give Jesus your heart. If you've been kind of straying and just getting sucked up in other worldly things, slow down. Give Jesus your heart. If you've never done that before, today's the day of salvation. Give Jesus your heart. Accept that eternal life. Accept that relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. You'll never regret it. Do it today. Okay, so a few fulfilled Christmas prophecies. So here's just a couple examples of how God has fulfilled his promises, and of course, in relation to Christmas, which is what we're now getting into. So now remember that we can believe God because he has an impeccable track record. He always fulfills his promises, always. Okay, I'm not sure if we can say that of anyone else on this earth. First promise I want to share with you. So God made a promise in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Here's what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Guess what? It was fulfilled. Matthew 1, 22 through 23 and Luke 1, 26 through 31. I'm going to be reading those passages in a little bit, but those are the references to how that promise was fulfilled. Here's another one. Micah 5, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, now here's an interesting fact. Did you know that there was actually two Bethlehems? There was Bethlehem Ephrathah and Bethlehem something else. I have looked it up in the past. I forgot. But there was actually two different towns that were Bethlehem, and Micah specified which of those Bethlehems it would be. You know, it'd be like saying Fargo, North Dakota, and then I think there's like a Fargo, Georgia or something. You know, it's like, well, which one? Which Fargo? Well, Fargo, North Dakota is where Jesus was born, of course. Bethlehem Ephrathah, not the other Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And you guys, I can't tell you how much symbolism there is in here. We know Bethlehem was the city of David. David was a king. Jesus is in the lineage of David. He's a king. He's a king. Guess what Bethlehem means? House of bread. House of bread. Jesus was born in the town, house of bread. What did Jesus say about himself later? I am the bread of life. God makes no mistake in the amazing symbolism of how he sets everything up. He's got reason. He's got purpose. Names, dates, numbers, stars in the heavens. They all matter. Everything points to God fulfilling his word. All of it. It's just astounding. And where was this fulfilled? Matthew 2, 1 and 6, and then Luke 2, 4 through 6. And we'll be taking a look at those verses, like I said. So, all right, and then here's the real meat of the message here. So who believed God, and what was the result? Who believed God, and what was the result? And I asked this question in the context of the Christmas story, okay? So this is asked in the context of the Christmas story. Who believed God, and what was the result? Well, let's take a look. Number one, Mary believed. Mary believed, though there is more to the story, okay? So I'm just going to quickly go through this with you guys. So this is out of Luke 1, 26 through 38. This will not be up on the screen. If you've got your Bible and want to read with me, you sure can. And I'm going to do some commentary as we're reading through it. So Luke 1, 26 through 38. Okay. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Okay, so can you imagine an angel just appearing and saying this? It's like, whoa. Okay, so she was greatly troubled and she tried to discern. Okay, so what can we learn from this? Sometimes, this is verse 29, sometimes God's message, truth, or promise can seem frightening and hard to understand. Okay, and that's okay. God is God. He is infinite. We are humans. We are finite. We don't understand everything, and that's okay. Okay, so sometimes God's message, truth, or promise can seem frightening and hard to understand. Okay, she's greatly troubled, and she's trying to discern. Okay, let's keep reading verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." He can obviously see she's afraid. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Okay, now listen to this in verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" How will this be since I am a virgin? She asked this question. It's a legitimate question, right? Is it okay to ask God questions? Yes. Now remember this. Mary asked the angel a question. A little bit later, we're going to be talking about someone else who asked the angel a question, and I can't help but believe that there was some tone of voice here that we're missing out on, okay? So this is how I think Mary would have asked it, like, how will this be since I am a virgin? She's like, she's not doubting, but she's just like, how's this going to work? As opposed to, how will this be since I am a virgin? Okay, I don't think that was her tone. But guess what? Later, we're going to get to another person who I think that was their tone, and the angel saw right through it, and that person got what was coming to him. We'll see that in a minute. So it's okay to ask God questions, especially if they're legitimate and we're not doubting him. Okay, so how could she conceive a child in her womb as a virgin? Sometimes, now listen, this is what we can learn from that. Sometimes God's message, truth, or promise doesn't make sense. And it seems impossible and very hard to believe. Okay, and that's how it is sometimes with some of God's promises. Even in this day and age. Like, God, where are you? Aren't you paying attention? You promised. Well, guess what? He always fulfills his promises, and even if it seems impossible or very hard to believe. Moving on, verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." So this is how, Mary. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son." Also, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So third point there on verse 38 that we can learn from this story, Mary willingly submits to the Lord and accepts what he told her. Okay? Because she says, "According to your word." You know, like, let it be, basically, let it be written, let it be done. Okay? According to your word. She chose to trust and believe the Lord because he said so. Okay? She chose to trust and believe the Lord because he said so. The question for us, do you believe God at his word? Do you believe it? Do you believe that everything written in this book is true? Inspired by the Holy Spirit? We must. And what was the result? Mary was blessed. Okay? So she believed the Lord. What was the result? She was blessed. Luke 1:45. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is one of our verse songs we're doing for our Advent devotionals with our family. You guys sing it, Josiah James. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Luke 1:45. All right, I heard you a little bit, Josiah. Good job. So that's one of our verses that we memorized. We put music to it. All right, next character. Let's take a look at Joseph. She was the longest, by the way, so don't worry. We're going to zip through these other guys. Joseph, he believed after an angel intervened. Let's take a look at Matthew 1, 20 through 23. Okay, so Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20. Okay, so things aren't making sense for Joseph. Finds out Mary's pregnant. How did that happen? We're betrothed to be married, and in those days, under the law, they technically were married, and now he's figuring, well, can't do this. I better divorce her, but he didn't want to shame the family, so he went to her quietly, and then this is what happened in Matthew 1, verse 20. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And for the record, it'd be more appropriately, Yeshua would have been that actual name, Yeshua. Verse 22, and all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And we read that from Isaiah 7:14 earlier, okay? Quoted the same verse. So, what was the result of this, of Joseph believing this angel? Let's take a look at the very next verse, Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke from sleep, listen to this, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So, what was the result? Joseph obeyed. He obeyed. Okay? So here's two things that our belief in what God tells us should lead us to. First, like Mary, we're blessed. When we believe God and his word, we're blessed. Secondly, if we do believe God's word, we should obey it, right? If we're not living out our faith, if we're not doing the things he's called us to do, we don't really believe it. Joseph believed and he obeyed. So that should be a sign that we believe what God is telling us, is that we obey what he's telling us. Okay, thirdly, let's take a look at the shepherds. Jump back over to Luke. This is Luke 2, 8 through 14. The shepherds believed what the angel told them, starting in verse 8 of Luke 2. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Seems to be a common response when people see angels. Can you imagine seeing like just this glorious, probably like bigger, stronger, faster than us, just beautiful, I mean, super bright, like, whoa. I mean, you'd be terrified if you saw an angel in its glory, just like these guys, filled with great fear. I mean, these guys are used to fighting off like bears and lions, you know, it's like, and then they see this angel and they're afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angel... So we'll stop right there. So that's what happened with the shepherds. Okay, they heard the message. What did they do? The result, the shepherds took action and spoke out. So that's another sign. If we really believe what God is telling us, we will take action and we will speak out and we will tell others about it. Okay, so let's look at that in Luke 2, verses 15 through 18. This will be up on the screen. Okay, so when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go. There's an action. Let us go. They're taking action. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, now listen to this, they made known. They spoke. They made known. known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Okay, so they took action and they spoke out. Now here's two other things that happened with the shepherds that should happen with us if we really believe God. They also glorified and praised God. Okay, this is Luke 2:20. Yep, they glorified and praised God. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So Christians, these should be natural reactions if we really believe God. He's going to bless us. We should obey the things that we believe he has told us. We should take action. We should tell other people about it. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins? We should be taking action and telling other people about that. Okay? And glorifying and praising God, which is why we gather here every week, to glorify and praise God together for what he's done. Okay, fourth group of people that believed, the wise men. Bob did a great job talking about this last week, so let's take a look at Matthew 2, 1 through 2. This won't be on the screen, but I'll read it. So the wise men believed because they knew the scriptures and were watching, okay? The wise men believed because they knew the scriptures and they were watching. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They were watching for a particular event to happen in the heavens. They knew what to look for. These guys were geniuses when it comes to, you know, astronomy, prophecies. Remember this, you know, a lot of people believe that, you know, this is where David was, and that's how these guys even knew that there was a coming Messiah. They were studying the things that David had written, things like that. So they were watching, okay? And they believed. So what was the result of this, of their belief? The wise men rejoiced with great joy and worshiped Jesus and brought him gifts. Whoa. Let's look at that, Matthew 2:10-11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Okay? And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. So what's another reaction that we should naturally have if we believe God's word? We rejoice with great joy. We worship Jesus. And we bring him gifts. What gifts will you give? What sacrifices will you make for Jesus this Christmas? Do you believe he is the king? Give him your heart. Give him your heart. What gifts, what sacrifices will you give to Jesus this Christmas? Okay, now let's take a look at two people that didn't believe. Who didn't believe, and what was the result? Dun, dun, dun. All right, the first one was Zechariah. This was John the Baptist's father. Okay, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, did not believe what the angel told him. I'm going to read this real quickly, and then we'll see what the result was. So Zechariah did not believe. I'm on track here. So this is Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. Luke chapter 1, 13 through 18. So Zechariah goes in to the temple, he's burning the incense. Okay, but the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Once again, everyone's always afraid when they see the angel. And then the angel has to say, "Don't be afraid." "Yeah, but you're frightening." Okay, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children." That's out of Micah 4:6. Okay. "And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers." Okay. "And the disobedient to wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Okay, so that's what this angel says. Okay, and then what is genius Zechariah's response? in verse 18. He says, and Zechariah said to the angel, okay, now I think, once again, remember Mary asked the angel a question, remember that? And I think she had honest integrity. This is how I think Zechariah probably asked this question. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. He's basically saying, it's impossible for us to have kids. I don't believe you. I mean, that, if you read between the lines, that's basically what he's saying. How will I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. Okay? So he didn't believe. Well, guess what the result was? The result, Zechariah was rebuked and silenced. Listen to what the angel Gabriel says to him. Okay, and the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. Anytime in the Bible when someone has to tell you who they are, like, you better pay attention. You know, like God says, I am who I am. Okay, Moses, you're not going to believe me. I am I am. Okay, so that's kind of like what Gabriel's doing. This is my authority. Do you not know who I am? I am Gabriel. You know what Gabriel means? It means strong man of God. Anytime you see EL, that EL, it's talking about, you know, El, it's like God's name. It's talking about God. So Gabriel means like strong man of God. Okay. I stand in the presence of God. Well, there's another good credential. Whoa. Okay. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be made silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. He has to remind them, oh, by the way, they will be fulfilled. Okay? Like, I told you. All right? So Gabriel had to give him a little tongue lashing. And then Zechariah lost his ability to speak. He came out, and they're like, Zechariah, why are you in there so long? What happened? You know, and he has to use his hands to do signs because he can't speak. But then, of course, later he does get his ability to speak back when he names the son John. So the curse was lifted once he finally agreed. Okay, and lastly, the last group of people that did not believe God, it was the chief priests and the scribes. And Bob did a great job of talking about that last week. That's found in Matthew 2, verses 3 through 7. I don't have time to read it all right now. We just read it last week. But yeah, so the chief priests and the scribes did not believe the prophecy. That's in Matthew 2, 3 through 7. What was the result of them not believing? It was inactivity and complacency. Okay? When we don't believe what God says, we get rebuked. Sometimes we lose our ability to speak, and that could be taken many ways. And then it's inactivity and complacency when we don't believe God. Okay? Why? Okay, now referring to these chief priests and scribes, why were they lying around in Jerusalem when they could have taken a stroll right over to Bethlehem to watch for the Christ? They weren't even paying attention. Herod had to consult with the real deal wise men who were actually watching for the Christ and doing something about it, okay? Because they actually believed. Christian, if you truly believe in something, you will take action on those beliefs. Otherwise, as Richard Wurmbrand would say, you only believe that you believe. Think about it. If you don't take actions on your beliefs, you only believe that you believe. But you don't really believe. And that's why in this day and age, we need to be finding Christians that are actually doing something about their faith, taking action, doing something, because I'm telling you, if people in this country keep sitting around and being complacent, inactive, we're going to find ourselves slaves. I'm just telling you the truth. Slaves to our sin and slaves to what's happening in this country. We have to take action. We have to do something about what we believe. There's a time and place where we need to sit silently before the Lord, let him fight for us, absolutely. But with the things that we can do something about, praying, etc., writing to our congressmen, legislators, etc., we need to do those things. We need to take action. We need to act on it. So I'll leave you with this. John 11:40 reads, Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? If you believed, you would see the glory of God. Here's the question. Do you want to see the glory of God this Christmas in your life, in our country? Then all you must do is believe. Just believe. Believe God at his word. That's the big idea. I'm going to pray here briefly, and then we're going to go right into communion. We are going to share in the Lord's Supper today. Very appropriate time, even during Christmas, to remember that Jesus was born to die for our sins. Couple quick notes. We do have open communion here, so if you're not a member of Submerge, that's okay. If you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ and profess him as your Savior, you're welcome to join us for communion. We realize that there's sicknesses going around, etc., so we've got hand sanitizer there. Please use that. If you're not comfortable and you want to stay in your seat, that's totally fine as well. But it's open for anyone with a relationship with Jesus. So we'll go right into that after this prayer, and then we'll close with one last song. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you that we can believe you at your word. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to fact check it. We don't have to keep re-examining over and over. We can believe it. Lord, I pray that we would do that today. We would show it through our actions, that we would obey you, God, as Joseph did. Thank you that you bless us when we obey you, as you did for Mary. Lord, I pray that we'd go and tell others about it, as the shepherds did. They were just rejoicing with exceeding joy and going and telling the whole world about it, glorifying and praising God. Lord, help us to be like the wise men, that we'd be watching and we'd even worship you and bring you gifts because we believe what you tell us. Lord, help us to learn from these people who believed you. Thank you that your word is true. And Jesus, we thank you now. We thank you for coming. We thank you for being born to die for our sins. You were the only one who could do it, the only way, the perfect, spotless Lamb who took away the sins of the world. We praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.